It's Brother Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to go over some of our introduction on the book of the Revelation. We're about to get into it again, and I believe we ought to give a little bit of background and history and different things on the book of the Revelation before we get into it, because it has been confusing for some, and it is a book that is more or less an unveiling. So let's make it an unveiling. Now, there's a lot of questions concerning, there's some questions concerning the author, the date, the first recipients of the book of the Revelation. It seemed to be, seem easy compared to the task of deciphering the book's symbols. However, the question of authorship is, in particular, is rather tricky. And 1:1, 4:19, the author identifies himself as John. The question is, which John? The John whom most people immediately think of, the one tradition says wrote the book, is St. John the Apostle. However, the traditional title of the book is not the Revelation of St. John the Apostle, but St. John the Divine. Divine means seer. That is, one who is granted a vision of the future. Irrelevant, but interesting to note is that the largest Gothic church in the world, still unfinished at this time, is the, it might be finished by now, is the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York. It the primary reason for doubting the authorship of John is the apostle, is that, as we have mentioned earlier, the writers of apocalyptic writings usually use pseudonyms, pen names, when they wrote. This leads scholars to wonder whether Revelation was written by someone using the name of John the Apostle in order to ride the coattails of his authority as an apostle. Other possibilities include the author was one of the disciples of John the Apostle. And since he learned what he knew about the faith from the apostle, he named his apocalypse for him, or Revelation was written by John the Elder, a student of the beloved disciple, the author of John's Gospel, even though he himself was not John, who appears to have written 2 and 3 John. Any other discussion of the identity of the author of Revelation is only so much educated guesswork. Suffice it to say that the writer is closely associated with the same group of people that gave us the Gospel of John, and the letters of John had their headquarters in Ephesus. We will go ahead and call author of Revelation John anyway, even though there is some uncertainty about who he was, which John. I'd rather call it John because it's all evidence points to it. John made the extensive use of the Old Testament in describing his message. It must be explained. It must be emphasized that in the book of Revelation, although the writer wishes us to understand that he is communicating a new revelation from God, his revelation is not inconsistent with what was previously revealed in Scripture, actually. Rather, John took images from the Old Testament, which spoke of circumstances similar to those of him and his readers, the image is familiar to them, and he recast them in order to apply their eternal truth to this day. And our task is to see that just as John did not consider Zechariah or Daniel or Ezekiel to be merely tracts for their own time, but with no relevance for his own, we must see Revelation as more than a tract for John's time. It may not be a blueprint of late 20th century history, but it is not a time-locked irrelevancy either. As far as the original readership and the date Revelation was written, more is known. The recipients of the book were the Christians of Asia Minor, the Roman province we now know as Turkey. The first section of Revelation consists of seven letters to churches in this province. As these churches are representative of all of the churches in Asia Minor, so this letter contains a message for all Christians of their day, and ours also. As we identify current events behind the symbolic language of Revelation, we discover that it was most likely written at the time of the Emperor Domitian's persecutions against the Christians around the mid-90s AD. This leads us to summarize and make a couple of points. The readers of Revelation understood the message John was writing to them if we accept the idea that the book was written and sent during a time of persecution. Then we can agree that it's highly unlikely that John would have sent those afflicted Christians a message of comfort which they could not understand. So there's based on the nature of biblical prophecy, we understand that the revelation is a describing events occurring basically during the lifetime of its readers, as well as anticipating plans of God for the next near future. This is supported by the prologue which says that the things described in the book must happen soon, 1:1, and that the appointed time is near, in 1:3. This in contrast to the book of Daniel, where Daniel is told that his vision will be fulfilled only after many days, Daniel 8:26. Therefore, as we look for actual events in history as explanations for what is described in Revelation, we should not be looking at events in the second half of the 20th century as Hal Lindsey and the late great Planet Earth and all of these other writers have done. Rather, we should be looking at events in the second half of the century, first century AD in the Roman Empire also. So, we got to look at everything. What was the author's basic message? What was his purpose in writing with this? There's a lot of potential, possibilities that we need to look at as well. With this background, we can now turn to Revelation and see what message John wrote to the churches and think about what Revelation is saying to us today. We can summarize the message of Revelation in this way. John describes history as a cycle of nationalism, war, famine, and death. God warns that the Roman Empire, who has declared himself to be God and is persecuting the church like a new Nero, that the empire will be destroyed if he does not repent. Various natural disasters underscore the warning. Next, John describes the story of salvation as cosmic battle between good and evil, with the person of Jesus Christ at its center, John then describes the destruction of Rome, the return of Christ as a victorious warrior, the era of peace which Christ establishes, the destruction of the old universe and the creation of a new universe in which God lives in the New Jerusalem on planet Earth, inhabited by all blessed of God, the wicked, along with the death and hell, having been tossed into the lake of fire. He closes the message by urging its readers to pray that Christ will soon return. So we're understanding that there's a lot involved. A word about the arrangement and the structure of the book. Four sections. Those concerning the letters, the seals, the trumpets, the bowls of wrath, clearly contain seven sections. Attempts have been made to show that the book has an outline of a prologue, seven parts each with seven sections, and an epilogue. And although it would be wonderful if the text of Revelation supported this arrangement, it doesn't. It may not, so let's not assume that it does. John does not follow a linear progression of events, that he is, he does not describe events one by one in order in which they occur. So let's keep that in mind. As if he were reading a timeline rather to build a sense of anticipation, he jumps back and forth and describes again an event which he has already described before. One of the confusing things about this is that some interpreters fail to take notice of the fact that he is retelling an event so that they try to make the retelling out of the second different event. Setting is very important in Revelation. John, as narrator, moves back and forth between heaven and earth to call attention to this. We will at times mark the change of John's location with separate line labeled setting. Revelation cannot simply be a tract for its time. It contains truth which applies today as well as at the end of each segment. There will be a brief section labeled Thinking Aloud, consisting of this author's reflection concerning the segments of applicability to this, our own day and age. So we're going to use a few different opinions on this, and I hope it helps in our thinking of the book of the Revelation. So I'm going to leave you there for now, and we'll take this up tomorrow. And I hope it clarifies a little bit so that when we do get into the book, it is not confusing like it has been. And we're going to approach it from a little bit different standpoint. So go to our website, krciradio.com. A lot of these are already up, and you can find them. And give us a note or a little jot, a letter, or anything. Let us know you're listening. KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.